Right. Round two. Good morning. Thank you, David, for coming back up and leading that song. Because, look, that song is so perfect for our lesson this morning. But before we get to that part of the lesson, I want you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. And I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 5. And by the way, fathers, happy Father's Day. And Dad, if you happen to be listening later in the week, our recording we'll post online. I love you. Shout out to you. Best dad I could ever have. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. And I want you to just to listen. This is a story you know, but I want to show you something that's really interesting to me in this story. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion comes up to him. He's asking for help. And he says, "Lord, my servant lies at home and he's paralyzed and in terrible suffering." You remember this story, right? He's in terrible suffering. Jesus says to him, I'm going to go and heal him. And the centurion says back, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I can tell this one go and he goes and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this and he does it." Now, if you're getting confused about why he says all that, he's acknowledging the authority of Jesus. He says, "I understand authority. I'm a man who has some authority. I also have some people who are over me. I have people who are under me. I understand how this whole thing works. I'm even able to tell some people who are under me, come and they come and go and they go. So you tell me the words, and you don't even have to go with me. I'll go and take." He's acknowledging the authority of Jesus. That's what's so powerful about this statement of faith. He's acknowledging Jesus as the supreme authoritative figure in this scripture. And so, when Jesus heard this, he was what? He was amazed. Did you know that you could surprise Jesus? Do you know there were things that you could do to make God go, "Oh, wow." Jesus was amazed. Wow. He was astonished and he said to those following him, "I tell you the truth." Why is he amazed? "I have not found anyone in Israel with what? Such great faith." Faith, your faith can amaze Jesus. Did you know that? There's only two times in Scripture that Jesus is amazed, that he's astonished. There's so many times and so many examples where angels appear to us or Jesus comes or you see him risen from, and we are astonished because of things that he does. But there are moments in which he is amazed at us. And this one is because of great faith. When you and I display great faith in the midst of troublesome circumstances and choose to trust God anyway, it makes him go, "Wow, look at my child go. Look at that faith." Does that mean that God's not all-knowing? No, but it still makes him go, "Wow, how incredible." The other time is in Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. I think this one's interesting as well. Look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. This is the other time in Scripture that Jesus is astonished or amazed. Jesus left there and went to his hometown. This is Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, by the way. I don't know if I said that. Jesus left there and he went to his hometown, coming home, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were what? There, now, this is us again. You hear Jesus teach, and we're going, "Wow," right? We're amazed. And they said, "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given to him, that he's even doing miracles? Isn't this the carpenter, that old scallywag? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. So Jesus is back in his hometown and he gets up in the synagogue and he begins to preach and to speak to his own people. And they're like, "Wait, this is just Jesus." And they took offense at him. him trying to tell us what to do. I changed that boy's diapers. You ever said that statement before? Yeah. You better not talk back to me like that. I changed your diapers when you were a baby. And that's what they're saying about Jesus. And so Jesus said to him, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was what? Jesus was amazed. But this time it's by their what? Their lack of faith. Do you see it? There's two instances in which Jesus is amazed, and they both have to do with faith. But they both come from different contexts. One is the great faith displayed by the centurion, and one is the lack of faith displayed by his own people in his own hometown. The people who would go to church every Sunday and taking care of him, the people that he loved the most, they were the ones who showed the least amount of faith. And it amazed him, and he said, wow, look how little faith they have. So we can amaze Jesus. And the only thing I think that shocks Jesus or amazes Jesus is our faith. The lack of faith or the greatness of faith that we display. So the question is not, are you going to surprise Jesus through your faith? Yes, you will. Through which context do you relate? Is he shocked about your lack of faith? Wow. You know, looking at me, you know, he's been a Christian for, you know, 26 years. You know, he's been in church growing up his whole life in church. And how can he have such a little faith? Come on, Nathan. Wow. Or is he going to say, wow, Nathan, great faith. Look at his faith. That's my child and I'm so proud of him. Now, let me be sure to help you out here. This doesn't diminish the love that Jesus has for you or the hope that Jesus has for you or the encouragement that Jesus is going to provide for you. It just diminishes the fact that he's going, oh, where's your faith? Oh, you have little faith. And it can shock him and surprise him. It doesn't mean he loves you less, but it means that he's going, come on, let's get going here. Let's have some faith. I love that because our theme this year is, everybody say it, follow me. One more time, follow me. And our lesson this morning, and it will also continue on to next week, is going to be follow me to new heights. Follow me to new heights. And I'm talking spiritually here. Following Jesus to new heights. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. This is a scripture that we've read a few times. It's one of my favorites, is why. You heard it again this morning in our scripture reading. You're going to hear it again next week in our scripture reading, because this is a verse that's worth repeating over and over again. It's one that speaks right into our soul. And I love this. It's such an encouragement. For Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. And they're going to walk and not faint. I love that passage because it gives me hope when I'm tired. It gives me strength when I'm most broken. It gives me encouragement whenever I'm looking around and going, there's nothing encouraging going on in my life. Yet this is one of those scriptures that you turn to when life is hitting you really hard. That helps us make it through it. Is anyone scared of heights? Okay. There's a lot of you out there, and several of you didn't raise your hands, but you know you're scared, right? And I think about the first time. Now, I wouldn't say that I'm terrified of heights. I don't enjoy heights, though, so I'm kind of like that in-between kind of a guy. Now, I'm scared of spiders, right? Like, I'm terrified of spiders. Heights, I'm just like, you know, I don't know about this. And the first time that ever happened for me is whenever I went to a swimming pool with some of my friends when I was really young, and they had a high dive, 14-foot high dive. And so I'm like, holy cow, you know, that is way up there. You know, for my little self, I was probably thinking, you know, I need a magic carpet to fly up there and make it up to the top of that high dive. But so I climb up this ladder, all the way up to the top. I walk all the way out. My feet are just hanging over the edge, and I'm looking down. And in that moment, I was terrified. And I'm thinking, I'm going to die. And so I turn around, and there's a kid standing right there, and there's kids all at the bottom waiting to get up, and I'm going to have to move them all out the way. So it's do or die here, you know. I got to make a decision. And so I squat down. I don't know why this is our natural reaction to heights and jumping off. It's like I can't jump from here because that's too high, but now I'm more comfortable. I don't know. But that's what I did. And I just kind of, and I just fall, you know. And when I land, now somebody told me, they said, you know, try to dive whenever you do it. Now, I'm not no professional swimmer. And so when I got into the air, I'm trying to dive, but my body's not doing what it wants me to do. But anyway, I hit the water and I come back out. And I was alive. And I was happy. And I said, what? Let's do it again. And I swam to the side. Probably doggy paddled. I wasn't great. But I swam to the side and got out. And I ran back and I did it again. And I did it again. And I did it again. Because now I had conquered something. And that's what it's like whenever you have faith that takes you to a new height. That first step of faith, man, it's hard and it's scary and it's intimidating. But when you're able to take that step, you look back on your life and you say, let's do it again. Let's do it again. I love this scripture, Isaiah 40 and verse 31, will soar to new heights, to a new atmosphere, to a new dimension, and see things we've never seen before. Luke 17 and verse 5, the apostles look to the Lord and they say this profound statement. It's really simple. It's just a short little verse. And it's, the apostles look to the Lord and they say, Lord, increase our faith. And that's our prayer, isn't it? Lord, increase our faith. That's my hope through this lesson, that you are asking that question. I don't care where you're at in your spiritual journey. I know we're all at different places. And some of you are at the highest point, and some of you are at the lowest point, and a lot of us are somewhere in the middle. Right? Some of you are taking steps forward. Some of you are taking steps back. I don't care where you're at. I hope that if you're sitting in here this morning, you choose to ask the question or to say the statement. Because they didn't ask a question. They said it like a statement, as if Jesus has the power to do this. Lord, increase my faith. And so that's our statement as we get into this lesson. For him to increase our faith. We'll soar on wings like eagles. Man, what an awesome promise that is. But that might not sound very good to you until you understand something about eagles. And let me ask you, how many of you have ever seen an eagle in flight before? You ever seen that? Isn't it awesome? And for those of you who haven't seen this, you can go on YouTube and look at it, but it's not going to be the same. You need to experience this. I don't know how. Are there eagles around in this area? Where's the best place to find eagles? Lake Buchanan? Go to Lake Buchanan and go eagle watching, all right? You need to do it just because of this sermon. I'm giving you a date night with your spouse. You know, go to the park. Family day. We're going to watch for eagles, you know. You need to see it. But the first time I ever saw it, it took my breath away. I was at Darbonne State Park in Louisiana, and I was out playing tennis with some people, and I hear a screech, and I was like, what in the world? It was loud? I'm like, what in the world? I'd never heard anything like that. Now, I've heard it through recording. You know, I knew what an eagle was, so I was like, is that an eagle? And I turn around and see this bird just flying over, and he was so low. He was below the tree line and right over our head, and he just soared up. And I thought he was coming to land because there were some trees out here in front of us, and he's coming this way. I thought he was going to go land in those trees, and I'm just like, whoa. And I was with a guy named Eric. I said, Eric, look. And he's like, wow. And then all of a sudden, this eagle just goes, and takes off. And you ever let a balloon go, and you just sit there and you watch, you know, for a long time? You're like, oh, there it is, you know, and it's a little speck until you can't see it anymore. That's what I did with this eagle. I'm just looking at this thing, and I'm like, wow. And I watch it disappear into the clouds. I mean, it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Watching an eagle fly, it is just awesome. And he takes off really low to the ground like that, and it just soared so high that I couldn't see him anymore. And isn't that the kind of elevation that we want, right? Like when we're saying, Lord, take us to new heights, it's the kind of new heights where everybody else on the ground, they know us, they've seen us, they know what we look like. But then all of a sudden, we just take off to another dimension, and people are down here, they're going, wow, where is he going? Where is she going? Now, they're in a whole nother dimension spiritually. They're soaring in the clouds. Isn't that the kind of faith we want? Amen? That's what the apostles are asking for Jesus. Lord, increase our faith. I'm going to tell you a lot of things about eagles this week and next week. But I'm only going to tell you one thing about them this morning. And it's incredible. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. I want you to read this scripture with me. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. There's a lot of scripture about eagles, but this is one of my favorites here. We'll start in verse 10. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 10. In a desert land he found him. In a barren and howling waste he shielded him and he cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. And then it says this, like an eagle. So this is how he guards you. This is how he takes care of you. This is how he protects you like the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carry them on its pinions. I love that. The eagle comes in. And what does she do to the nest? She stirs the nest. Let me tell you how an eagle learns to fly. The baby, up to this point in its life, has never been out of the nest. Right? Like, this is where I live. This is my life. I'm in the nest. Mom brings me food. I mean, it's the life, you know? I'll just sit at the house, playing my games, doing my thing. Mom comes with some Hot Pockets, says supper's ready. I'm like, all right, you know. That's my life up until this point. I've stayed in the nest. Some of you need to get out of the nest. It's time, you know. But we'll go different direction here this morning. But the baby up to this point has been in its nest for its whole life. It's never used its wings before. At this point, it's not even probably sure what the wings are for. And so the mother eagle comes in. And she stirs the nest. And what she does is she starts to kind of just pick at the nest. And it just starts to mess it all up. And it gets uncomfortable. And it gets not as good anymore. What's happened? Where's my Hot Pocket, Mom? You know, and so Mom comes in to little Eagle Johnny, and she says, okay, Johnny, it's time for flying lessons. And Johnny's more okay with it because the nest isn't that comfortable anyway. And so Johnny, this is how it works. Johnny gets onto Mom's back. And Mom says, all right, hang on, Johnny, and flies out. And little Johnny Eagle, he's like, oh, yeah, woo, this is awesome. I mean, I'm doing something I've never done before. It's a great experience, and it's all fun and games until Mom swoops out from underneath him, and Johnny starts to tumble through the air. Ah! Ah! And so then as he's tumbling through the air, what does he start to do? Not sure what these are for, but I got to do something. And he begins to flap his wings. And hopefully through this falling process, the eagle will start to learn to fly. But as the eagle's still tumbling towards the ground, he's looking down. He's going, this ain't working. And so Mom comes in right at the end. It's our scripture. Look back at it. Chapter 32, verse 11. Like an eagle that stirs its nest, hovers over its young, and spreads its wings to catch them, and carries them on its pinions. The eagle will come right back in just before that bird hits the ground and swoop underneath, catch it, and lift it back to the nest. Isn't that incredible? And so then Mom says, okay, Johnny, let's do it again. And Johnny says, okay, it's kind of like my dog. You know, something bad happens, and I'm going to be a little more cautious this time, but I can still coax him to do it, you know. And so Mom does it again, same process, swoops out from underneath. Johnny goes, oh! You know, and catches and brings it back to the nest. And finally, Johnny starts saying, okay, Mom, I ain't coming out again. I'm staying in this nest, even though it's uncomfortable. And so you know what she'll do then? She'll come in and begin to rip the nest apart until there's nothing left for that eagle to hang on to. And it's got to learn to fly. That's how an eagle helps their babies learn how to fly. And I think the Lord helps us learn how to fly in our faith the same kind of way, don't you? And man, it's just so easy to get comfortable in my nest, and I've got everything that I need right here in this space. And there's a whole other world outside. Not only is there another world outside of the nest, there's another dimension that you haven't even gone to. You're meant to soar in the clouds, and yet sometimes we're just comfortable to sit right here. I've got my church family. I've got everything just like I want it. Don't let anything come in and mess this up. But Jesus, God, he's all about stirring the nest. He's trying to get you out. He says, don't be lukewarm. Don't be satisfied where you're at. And he's going to start to make it a little bit uncomfortable for you. And if you still stay in the nest, eventually he's going to come in and he's going to rip the whole thing up, because he's trying to get you to learn some dependence on him. And he's not doing it because he hates you. He's doing it because he loves you. And there's so much more out there than this little nest over here. And some of you have been living in this nest that you've created, and sure, there's sin in it, but you know what? I've learned how to deal with that sin and cope with that sin and hide that sin, and I'm comfortable where I'm at, Nathan. And it may not be the best life. I see all these other people, and they're flying out everywhere, and all these other eagles are taking off, and I know that I'm just stuck in there, but I'm comfortable. My mama's bringing me Hot Pockets. I'm good to go. And spiritually and in our faith, we can just choose to stay in the nest because we're scared of the fall. But let me tell you something. It's in the fall that you learn to fly. It's in the moment in which you're tumbling to the ground. It feels like life is chaotic and you're just going, ah! And you begin to flap your wings and you learn something about yourself that you realize you never knew before. You find wings that you've never used, and you begin to soar in situations you thought you would never soar in. And you begin to experience life from a whole new perspective, because it looks a whole lot different from the nest than it does from the clouds. It may be the same situations in life, but when you're looking at it from a new vantage point, it looks a whole lot better, doesn't it? That's what the apostles are praying for. Lord, increase our faith. And that's why we titled this, Follow Me to New Heights. But the first step is always scary. And sometimes it's so scary that we feel like, I'm just going to curl up and I'm going to do it this way. And that's okay too. You know, taking the first step of faith doesn't have to be this whole, all right, here I go. It, you don't have to be excited. It is scary. You're 14 feet up in the air and you're just a child jumping off a high dive. It's scary. It's okay to be this way. But you know what? You still choose to say, I'm going to go forward because I'm not going back there again. And sometimes that only happens when you get uncomfortable with your comfort. And that takes some training of the mind, doesn't it? To begin to get, if everything in my life is just cozy and great and wonderful, and there's no stressful situations around me, and there's no things that I have to do, there's no people I have to talk to about Christ, how am I going to have that conversation to share the gospel with the person? I don't know, it's difficult. But you know what? That's the normal life. That's the goal, right? Is that the uncomfortable becomes comfortable. But that if everything's together and life is just great, and I've got, you know, all my kids and grandkids coming to the house, and it's just lovely, and I've got my nice car and my nice house, and I'm saving for great retirement, that there's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, you've got to say, I'm going to choose to live a different life. I'm going to choose to get out of this nest of comfort, and I'm going to take a step of faith. And I don't know where this is going to take me, and I may not even take it that confident. It may be one of these kind of steps, you know, like, oh, I'm not sure. But I'm going to trust that, because I believe that God is going to teach me something new through the fall. Learning to fly is never easy, but it's always worth it. It's never easy, but it's always worth it. It's never easy, but it's always worth it. You got to be willing to go to your scary place, you know? Because that's what that is, right? Like, it's that fear. whatever it is. Maybe it's not heights for you. Some of you are like, man, I've been skydiving. I do this stuff all the time. But whatever it is that scares you, that's what you got to be willing to say. Okay, you know, spiritually, I'm scared that this will happen. I'm scared of that phone call that I'm going to get. I'm scared that my kids will never come back to the faith. I'm scared. And in those moments, you have to choose to have faith anyway. And when you do, it's going to elevate you to a new place that you've never been. I want to tell you about something that I've been through. When I was in middle school's tough, isn't it? You remember middle school? It's tough. For a lot of kids, it's like the worst time. Statistics show that most kids look back on their life and they say, middle school was my worst time. And there's just so much happening. It's such a horrible age. I mean, if you're in middle school, I'm sorry. I love you. I know what you're going through. I've been there. I've done that, right? And it's just, there's a lot happening, you know? You're trying to make new friends, and you're asking these questions, there's a study. I don't have time to do all this. I got to keep going. But there's a study that shows that, like, the questions that you ask at each stage of life, and in middle school, the question you're asking is, who likes me and who do I like? You're asking, who am I and where do I fit in? Am I the cool guy? Am I the funny one? You know, am I the nerd? Am I going to be the one that is in band? Or am I going to be the one that's on the football team? Or am I going to be somewhere in the middle? Am I going to be the smart one or the dumb one? And you see, and when you watch middle schoolers for a while, if you haven't hung around a middle schooler, just go do it. It'll lighten up your life. I mean, even if it's only 20 minutes, because then you might have to get away. No, I'm kidding. I loved my middle school youth group. Man, they were just fun. But they were so awkward. You know? They're just awkward. And because you throw all those are huge questions, by the way. Those are life-defining questions. The way that you answer the question, who am I, changes the way that you live out your life. And some of you have been living your life for 30, 40, 50 years because of a way that you answered a question back in middle school. I mean, there's some serious psychological things that are forming there because your brain's beginning to form. You're figuring out a lot about yourself and a lot about the Lord all at the same time. And then you throw in all the body changes that are going on, all the hormones and things that are happening. It's just rough. And so I tell you that because I was in middle school and things were actually going pretty well for me. And we lived in Missouri, and I had a lot of friends. I felt like I was really fitting in. I was kind of figuring out who I was. I guess I had answered those questions. I listen to a lot of kids today talk about their middle school experience and go, man, mine wasn't nearly that bad, you know? But then one day, Dad got a job offer in Farmerville, Louisiana. Where even is Farmerville? You know, and then we're driving down to Farmerville, Louisiana, and takes the job, and I'm sad. You know, I mean, I'm leaving my friends. I'm leaving. I've got that community that I've built, the friends that I've built, and everything's going great for me. And then suddenly, I'm uprooted from a growing place in Missouri where there's a lot of things to do, and I'm taken to Farmerville, Louisiana. And I was so angry. I was angry at my parents. You know, I was the guy that started telling my parents, I'm going to go live with my best friends. No, you're not. Yes, I am. I've already called them, and I did. I called them on the phone. Hey, can I come live with you? Well, absolutely. Yeah, you sure can. Do your parents know about this? Oh, that doesn't matter. Like, I'm going back. I didn't know how I was going to. I'm going back home. I'm not staying here, and I was angry. I treated my parents bad through that time. There's, you know, and I mean, I'm a middle school boy, you know, but still, I look back on some of that and say, man, I had a sorry attitude, you know. But what it was is that I had built up my nest, and God said, take a step, and I was like, I don't want to take this step. And Farmerville was that town when we're driving, you know, and I'd never seen the place, so I'm in the car, and Dad's up there driving, and I'm going, all right. And we're coming through a town, and it's one of those little towns where you're like, oh, I can't wait to get out of here to get to where we're actually trying to go. And Dad says, okay, we're here. And I'm like, what? Here? Where is here? This is it? I was so upset. And I really did not display my faith well. And I missed an opportunity for growth, but I can do this. I can look back on that and say God knew exactly what he was doing. Because if it wasn't for that move, then I never would have met my beautiful wife. and I never would have made it into ministry. Because it was through, and I don't have time to go into my whole story, but it was through my experience at a high school in that area where I was able to hold a youth rally for my school and got my principal on board, and it was incredible. It was really a neat moment. And it was that day that that happened, where a bunch of kids came down at the end of this rally and they were crying and hugging, and classes were canceled for a while because there was just such a neat moment going on. It was a private Christian school, so this could happen. And it was just a neat moment that was going on. And I said, this is what I want to do. And I went home that day and said, Dad, I want to go into ministry. And that's when he said, well, you need to go to Sunset. I don't know that that opportunity would have happened in Missouri. But it happened in Louisiana. Let me tell you one more. Now I'm at Sunset. And it's the two-year school in Lubbock, Texas, for those of you who don't know. And I'm there, and things are going well, and I'm dating a girl, things were going well, and we actually got engaged. And this is a girl before Avery. I'm engaged and things are going well, and it looks like, man, I'm going to start my career and I'm going to get married. It was about 4 months until the wedding was supposed to be, and I get a call from her. Long story short, she's been cheating on me with another guy, you know, and left me. And I was broken in that moment. And I know some of you, listen, I know some of you have been through some things that are, you looking at me and going, Nathan, you don't even understand. If only you knew. But for me, that was a big thing. And it hurt. And I remember I pick up the phone, it's about 9 o'clock at night. And who do I call when I got that first call? Who do I call? I call my dad, you know. I said, hey, Dad, I'm crying. And I said, she's gone. She left me, you know. And I told him, I said, I'm coming home. Notice this thing with me, you know, middle school, it doesn't go right, I'm going home. Sunset, it doesn't go right, I'm going home. So be careful, because if you make me mad, no, I'm kidding, that was a bad joke. Anyway, so I had to bring some humor into this a little bit, because it's a big deal for me. And I called Dad, hey, listen, she's gone, I'm coming home. Son, you can't come home. You can't leave. You've committed to this, and you're almost done. Hang in there. Have faith. Know that I'm coming home. And I hear some stuff going on in the background while my dad's talking to me. And I hear my mom pass by, and I just overhear her say, Jerry, tell him I'm coming. And then I hear my sister say, I'm coming too. Don't leave me. And they get into the car, and they leave at 9 o'clock that night. By the way, my mom's back was thrown out during this time. And she's got her own stuff going on. My mom was struggling with alcoholism at this time. And she still hops into the car for me. 11 hours, leaves at 9 o'clock, shows up at my house at about 6 the next morning. I knock on the door. And I open up the door, and there's my mom and my sister, and I just fall into their arms and start crying with them, and they just stay and support me. They stayed with me for about a week. And I look back and I say, man, if those things wouldn't have happened, if I never would have moved, and if that situation with my fiance leaving me, and then me choosing to stay, and my parents coming to support me. Like, I look back at all the pain, and in the moment, I was doing a lot of falling outside of the nest. I was stepping out, and it was not working, and I wanted to go back home, but my parents and friends and family and God were all saying, you need to stay. And so I chose to stay a lot because of them, but finally I did choose to have faith. And I look back on those times today, and it's a strange thing, because you know what I say now? Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for moving me to Louisiana. Thank you, God, for bringing Avery into my life and giving me the chance to step into ministry. And I look back on who I am today, and I wouldn't be standing here if those things wouldn't have happened the way that they happened. And it's in those moments, it's in the trials. It's when you fall that you grow the most. The fall is where growth happens. You want the Lord to increase your faith. I don't know that the apostles understood exactly what they were asking for. They said, Lord, increase our faith. And every one of them went through persecution and torture. Some were beheaded and hung on a cross. Why? Lord, increase our faith. It's a big ask. When you ask God to increase your faith, that's huge. When you step into the waters of baptism, you say, God, I want to follow you. It's not some small thing. It's a life-changing situation. You're saying, God, I'm willing to choose to follow you. And I want to soar to new heights. So help me to fall. Kick me out of the nest. But it's such a beautiful story when you and I have faith. And that kind of faith, in the midst of the moments where we're most hurt, but we choose to fly anyway, is a kind of faith that makes Jesus go, wow. And that's the kind of faith I want to live. How about you? I don't know where you are this morning, and there's so much more that I want to talk about. And that's why I divided it up into at least two lessons. It could be three. I'm not sure. Because this is such an awesome scripture. And such an awesome promise from our God when he looks at us and he says that we're going to soar on wings like eagles. He's saying a whole lot through that. And so I hope that you're excited to come back next week and we're going to continue to study that. But listen, I don't know where you are in your faith. And some of you, you've been stuck in the nest. Some of you, you're in the free fall right now. And some of you are soaring in the clouds, but wherever you are, whether you want to come forward and just give God thanks and a praise for where you're at, or whether you want to come and ask for prayers and support from your brothers and sisters, or whether you're just coming and saying, guys, I'm falling and I need some help, whatever it is, we never want to leave without giving that opportunity. So you can come down up front. We'll say a prayer over you. There's some elders in the back that will be posted up back there so that you can walk back if you don't want to let the whole church know what's going on, but want somebody who will pray with you and at least one person to know. We got them there for you.